Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Caudette. Police in Coeur d'Alene are still investigating allegations of racial harassment against the University of Utah women's basketball team. Now, according to reports by the team, last month, racial slurs and a Confederate flag were part of that incident that happened. 2 years ago, if you remember, 31 members of a group called the Patriot Front were arrested and charged with conspiring to riot during a Pride Festival event. That also happened in Coeur d'Alene. And 4 years ago, Boise's Anne Frank Memorial was defaced with swastikas. Racial hate, it is not new to Idaho, and the Aryan Nations are a big part of the history of hate here in our state. Alicia Graff has been studying the Aryan Nations in Idaho for years now. She's an archivist at the Albertsons Library at Boise State University, and she'll be giving a talk April 11th at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise, and she's joining us now to talk more. Alicia, it's nice to have you on the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So as I mentioned, you have been studying this history for quite some time. It was actually part of your thesis in college. And I understand a book by Morris Deese called The Gathering Storm got you more interested in this topic. So can you tell us a little bit about that book itself?
Yeah, when I was a graduate student at Boise State University in the history department, I read that book by Morris Deese, and he explained the militia movement and how much of a turning point the Ruby Ridge incident, which happened near Hayden Lake, Idaho, and the compound that Richard Butler created for the Aryan Nations, how much of that was a turning point for the neo-Nazi movement and the entire anti-government movement that happened in the 90s and 2000s. And it really actually led to the Waco incident and even the Oklahoma City bombing, which I didn't realize when I was in grad school. And I was really interested to learn how the Ruby Ridge incident and the Aryan Nations really played into that and how much of an influence that was to those huge events.
So Alicia, tell us exactly who the Aryan Nations are.
So the Aryan Nations were really started by Richard Butler. He moved to Idaho in 1973 from LA, and he was kind of part of this second great migration out of LA. So conservative Californians and elsewhere in the country started moving to places like Idaho that were conservative, Republican, and white. After events like the Watts riots in LA happened in 1965, he came and built his compound in Hayden Lake, and it was about 20 acres. And it kind of became this like summer camp training ground for like-minded individuals. And it was really the first place where all of these different groups came together. So it wasn't just a KKK gathering. It wasn't just neo-Nazis. All of them came together, including militias, skinheads, and they were able to talk, train together. It was really a one-of-a-kind place for that.
And Alicia, did I hear you correctly that you said that they came to Idaho really in the early 90s and not before then?
They came in the 70s. That was probably the second great migration. And then again in the 90s after. Yeah.
But it seems that we know more about that time in the 1990s.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate assessment? And if that is a yes, as you said, why? Is it just because was it more people, as you said, all of these different groups coming together? Or is it also that as a country, as a society, were we paying more attention to this?
I think it's really when all of the activities started to ramp up after these summer camp-like activities were happening at the compound in Idaho. So he really started the church services at the Aryan Nations. It was pretty small, but then he started ramping up his pamphlets and newsletters and marketing. So people started coming to Idaho in the 80s and 90s more and more. And then that's when splinter groups like the Order were formed. And those were the really violent groups that we started hearing about, where they were leading armed robberies. They were assassinating radio talk show hosts. They were bombing synagogues and even bombing areas in northern Idaho. So I think that's when the violent activity started to happen.
So as you mentioned, these pamphlets and newsletters, I know that you really in college went digging into the archives to find articles and even these newsletters and pamphlets. So can you describe to us what they were like?
I mean, Yeah, I did a little road trip during grad school to collect these and photograph them and really study them. And they're really awful. I mean, they are really rooted in this splinter Christian identity that really places white Christians at the top of all other races. And so it's just like inherently racist Christian identity that a lot of Christians do not believe in, but that Richard Butler really pushed on the people who came to his compound. But there was just a lot of misinformation. There were really awful photographs of people of color and a lot of, I guess, initiatives that they started where it was like, start buying land in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. A lot of that was in these pamphlets as well to kind of try and create this white haven that he envisioned in Northwest, America.
As you speak about this, it feels kind of eerily similar in some ways to what we seem to be experiencing within our society right now. This real rise of white Christian nationalism. In your research, are you seeing any similarities? And we're talking, 30 plus years later.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I started looking into this was after I read Morris D's book, it really put into perspective the Proud Boys and the alt-right that really gained traction during Trump's time in 2016 to 2019. And they're still around, and now we have the Patriot Front as well. And there were so many similarities between what they believe in and how they operate to the Aryan Nations. Operating in splinter cells and gathering at college universities and putting educated white men at the front of the front of their campaigns, really, to show that this is such an American, experience. And there's so many parallels there.
And even the parallel to, move to Idaho, move to Montana,
Yeah,
move to Wyoming,
exactly.
right? To find that haven, as you said. So, with that said, can we talk about the Wild West mythology? What is that? And how did it influence the Aryan Nation's formation?
The Wild West mythology is really this, it comes from novels, fiction, movies, television, where there's this mythology of the Wild West as being you can do whatever you want. It's far from the federal government. White people haven't inherited this land. We have pushed people and animals off this land to inherit it. And it's really a place of freedom, and you can bring your gun to the grocery store. And that's really an old ideology that has really come from, pioneer days when everyone moved out west. And people have really clung on to that identity. And so a lot of these racist organizations really cling to that this is founded by white people, and we will continue to push off people of color to make sure it's a space for us.
So, a lot of people may not know this, but can you talk to us about how the Aryan Nation actually ended up losing their compound, how Richard Butler ended up, losing this compound in North Idaho, and it really kind of, fracturing apart when all of this happened?
Yeah, it was actually the first court case that was won against a hate group. So in 1998, a mother and son were driving home from a wedding. Their car backfired near the Aryan Nation compound, and a few security guards on the compound shot at their vehicle, and they ended up running into a ditch, and they were held at gunpoint trying to explain why they were there and that they weren't trying to harm the Aryan Nations. And so they were unscathed, but the Southern Poverty Law Center helped them sue the Aryan Nations. And so they were awarded $6.3 million, and Richard Butler was kind of bankrupt after that, and he had to turn over his compound. And it was physically torn down after it was donated to a university. So.
It seems that the Aryan Nation may not be as openly strong as they once were in Idaho. However, is it fair to say that the history of hate it, that is a part of Idaho, whether people want to acknowledge that or not, it is a part of the history of this state. Is it still here in the present day?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, absolutely. I really see that tearing down the compound, this physical end to the compound, but those sentiments still remained. There's still people who went to the compound every summer that live in Idaho, and they've, you know, participated in Republican ballots, and they've been, you know, they've run for sheriff in Northern Idaho, and they've been elected to school boards. And a lot of those people still live here and still move here as a destination. And we've seen vandalism and graffiti from 2022, 2020, like, you know, graffiti in downtown Boise on streets of North End. Camelsback Park was recently, there were swastikas carved into the side of it. The tunnels near Boise State and the Greenbelt. And, you know, it still exists here, and there's still a sentiment here, and there's just a lot of people cling to that history of Butler and the Aryan Nations.
And I, you know, you bring up a good point, right, about all of these incidences in the Treasure Valley, because it seems that there is also this idea, or maybe just wanting to put blinders on, that, you know, that's North Idaho. That only happens up in Coeur d'Alene. That only happens up where the Richard Butler complex was. How false of a narrative is that?
I mean, it's pretty false. I mean, in I believe 2020, with the Black Lives Matter protests in front of Town Hall, they had a clash between the Blue Lives Matter and actual skinhead neo-Nazis, where they brought swastikas, and there were a lot of people with racist tattoos in attendance at that clash. And Black Lives Matter protesters were followed to their car. And that happened right here in Boise, where graffiti still happens. The Anne Frank Memorial is still vandalized every once in a while. And it still happens here.
What are you hoping that people will learn from your research when you give your presentation, which we should note is on April 11th? It's titled A History of Hate, the Aryan Nation, and White Supremacy in Idaho.
I really just want people to know that the fight isn't over, even though that compound was taken down and a court case was won. We still have to stay vigilant with who we are electing, even on school boards, and really fight to keep Idaho representing who lives here in Idaho, and that this legacy still exists, and we have to be vigilant.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to talk with us about this and giving us a preview of what you will be discussing. It is a critically important topic, so thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Well, we've been talking with Alicia Graff. She's an archivist at the Albertson Library at Boise State University. As I mentioned, she will be giving a presentation April 11th. It is titled A History of Hate, the Aryan Nations and White Supremacy in Idaho. It will be at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.